you have your Bibles, if you want to open your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 12, that's where I'm going to begin tonight. I just want to share this one verse out of Revelation first. And it's Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death." Now, if you'll notice there, it's a two-part victory. Jesus did his part, okay, blood of the Lamb, and our testimony. We've got our part to do. It's a two-part victory there. And you notice it says they did not shrink back so much as to draw back from death, because they were willing to sacrifice their life for what they believed. You know, you remember here just a couple years ago that when they had the youth killed at the Columbine in Colorado, there were a couple young ladies, I believe, there that were Christians, and they were said, "If you'll deny Christ, I won't kill you." And they wouldn't do it. They were martyred because they stood up for Jesus.
That's good.
And you know, I'm telling you, I don't
believe... A lot of people saved because of...
That's right. And they've had revivals going through that area since then because of just a couple of people were willing to say, "No, I'm going to live for Jesus, and if I have to, I'll die for Jesus."
Amen.
You know?
That's right.
And, but praise God for that. But you know, that word there for testimony is the same root word that we get our word martyr. The same word, if you study that, means the same root word. And so their testimony was such that they weren't going to be turned away by anything. I mean, they weren't moved by situations, they weren't moved by circumstances, not by the political atmosphere of where they were or who was ruling the nation, but they were moved by what God said and what God did. And that's how God wants us to be, church. And that's the second part of what God wants to do. Jesus' part was the shedding of his blood, it says, you know. But then we have our testimony we have to share. And so, in 1 John chapter 3, the middle, or the last part of verse 8 there, it says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works."
Right. Amen.
That's why Jesus came, church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And praise God, he did what he came to do.
He sure did.
As a matter of fact, when he hung on the cross in John 19:30, he said, three of the most precious words you'll ever hear, he said, "It is finished." Hallelujah.
Yeah.
My goodness, did he say a lot when he said that?
Yes,
it is finished.
Glory, hallelujah.
And then in Hebrew chapter 7, verse 25, the scripture records this. "Therefore, he," talking about Jesus, "is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." And that's the NIV translation. New King James says this. "Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." My goodness. I got to tell you, church, I was preparing to preach a message one day, and I was meditating on these four scriptures. And it was just me and God, and I was thinking through these scriptures, and I was just talking to the Lord, and he was talking to me. And I said, "Now, Lord, I know we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And the reason the Son of God came was to destroy the works of evil one. And Jesus said it's finished." And I said, "But in Hebrews it says Jesus ever lived to intercede for the saints." I said, "What is he praying for?" And the Lord told me this. He said, "Well, son," he says, "his part is finished. He's praying that you're going to finish your part."
Amen.
That you're going to finish your part.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, church, Jesus makes it easy for us to finish our part because he intercedes for us.
Yes.
The word for saved is sozo. And that word sozo means so much more than being born again. Praise God, it includes that. But that's just the beginning. I need up here. That's just the beginning of what that word means. Because God meant for us to be saved completely from everything. Everything the enemy would try to do, it means that we can be in health, that nothing's broken. Nothing's missing. You know that God is a God of restoration. Whatever the devil has stolen, God will bring it back and restore it. You know? And that's what that word sozo means. And so, you know, I'll have to confess to you, I love to meet other Christians. But when I meet other Christians And I talk with them and I see that they're just walking in just their basic salvation 101. It grieves me because I know that they're missing out on so much more that God has for them. And I'm telling you, church, I want you to be one that doesn't miss out on anything God has for you. I mean, not a thing. I'm telling you, because the good news is you can have it because the price is paid. And it was paid in full. Hallelujah. And let's see here. The Hebrew word is sozo, S-O-Z-O. Oh, I'm sorry. Hebrews 7:25. I'm sorry, Tom. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. All right. And then the word there where it says, therefore he is able. The New Testament, the Greek word in the New Testament is 14:10, which the word 14:11 comes from, which is dunamis. It means the miracle working power. God is able. He has that power to do those things for us, to save us to the uttermost.
Hallelujah.
My goodness. Now, as I was preparing for this message, I looked at all the commentaries that we had, and I want to share with you what some of these guys, these scholars said about this, okay? This is not what I said. I just want to read you what they said, because it blessed me just to read it. When it says, wherefore, it means because he is an everlasting priest and has offered the only available sacrifice. He is able to save from the power, guilt, nature, and punishment of sin to the uttermost. And that word for uttermost means to all intents, degrees, and purposes, and always, and in through all times, places, and circumstances. He ever lives to make intercession for us.
That's right.
My goodness. Ever lives. And it says from the foundation of the world that he has been our everlasting priesthood. See, we were saved from the foundation of the world. You realize that?
Yeah.
You know, God ordained that you were going to be saved. He knew before you was born that you were going to be saved. You know, God has tremendous plans for us, church. And it says here, he is our continual intercessor. He's always praying for us. So man, if you're ever having a tough time, just think, well, right now I'm having a hard time, but Jesus is praying for me. This very moment, in my hardest time, the struggle I'm going through, Jesus is, he's praying that I'm going to make it. Hallelujah. And he's going to help me out. Hallelujah. And by virtue of all this, all those that were saved from the foundation of earth, and those who are going to be saved, hallelujah, those that are yet to be saved because of what Jesus done, and to the very end of the earth will be saved through him. He ever was and ever will be the high priest, our sacrifice, our intercessor, and our mediator with God the Father.
Hallelujah.
He ever lives to intercede for us, church.
Thank you, Jesus.
The phrase to make intercession means this. For a person, it has considerable meanings, but here's the meanings it listed. This is in the Adam Clark's commentary. To come to or meet a person on any cause, whatever, to intercede, pray for, or entreat in behalf of another, to defend or vindicate a person, to commend, to furnish any kind of assistance or help. Man. That's what Jesus is doing for us right now. As he's right there in the throne room with the Father. He's interceding for us, church. And in Barnes' notes, this is what it says. To the uttermost, this does not mean simply forever, but that he has power to save them so their salvation shall be complete. Whole.
Yes.
Nothing missing, church. He does not abandon the work midway. He does not begin a work which he is unable to finish. Man.
Yep.
He's a completer of what he came to do. To make intercession for them, the general meaning of this is he undertakes their cause and assists them in overcoming their foes and in their endeavors to live a holy life.
Yes.
He came to make us like him.
That's right.
That we'd be holy like he's holy, church. He does in heaven whatever is necessary to obtain for us grace and strength, and he secures the aid which we need against our foes. Wow. In the Jameson and Fawcett and Brown commentary, wherefore means since he remains forever. To the uttermost means perfectly, so that nothing should ever be
lacking or wanting in any way. When it says when we come unto God, it means we come by faith. And by Him means through Him as our mediating priest instead of through the Levitical priest. You know, the old Levitical priest, they died.
Yeah.
And there had to be a new priest come in. But Jesus lives forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He continues forever. He is able to the uttermost to make intercession. There was the one offering on earth once for all, Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb. But the intercession for us in the heavens is ever continuing. It goes on forever and ever and ever. He doesn't just pray for us once or one day or one year, but our whole life. Man, I'm telling you, that you might be completely saved. He is our intercessor. His intercession is being founded on His voluntary offering of Himself without spot to God. We are not only in virtue of His sacrifice forgiven, but in virtue of this, the intercession that we are admitted to His favor. Because we get the favor of God because He's interceding for us. You see, these are things I want you to walk in, church.
Yeah.
I want you to experience them. I want you to live them. It's not some theory that's up there, kind of way up there in the heavenlies that's going to happen someday. No, it can happen today and the rest of your life. God wants us to walk in those things. Praise You, Jesus. And it said in this commentary, it said, He didn't pray and ask the Father as though the Father was unwilling. No, the word there for pray is the word ask. Remember we talked about ask a couple of weeks ago? It means He came and asked the Father, but it's actually a particular word for ask. It means He came as an equal to the Father and asked God the Father to do this. And the Father, of course, was willing because we are His sons and daughters. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes. That's why it's good news, church. Praise You, Jesus. In the next translation, it says the word uttermost is the translation which is made up of two words. One means all and the other means end or termination. So it's to the uttermost, to all ends, to all termination of everything. He's going to do that for us, church. It's two-dimensional there as it's spoken of. By reason of the Messiah's eternal ministry as high priest, He is able to save the believer in His totality of being, body, soul, and spirit, and do all that to the point of termination, an unending state of salvation in eternity. Man. And the word there for intercession, it means not only intercession, but it means intervention. He intervenes on our behalf.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He intervenes. He steps into your life to assist you and to help you. It includes every form of Messiah's identifying Himself with humanity and includes the idea of intercession. Wow. He identified with this church in everything.
Sure.
And this is the way it's written in the Weiss translation. He says, "But this priest, because he abides forever, has the priesthood which is non-transferable, for which reason he is able to be saving those completely and forever who come to God through him, being always alive for the purpose of continually making intercession for them."
Amen.
I like that. I like that. My goodness. Wow. In Robertson's word pictures, it says this. The wherefore means since he alone holds this priesthood. And for the uttermost means it commonly means completely or utterly. And then when he talks about intercession, it has this comment. It says his intercession has red blood in it.
Oh, wow.
Wow. It's written in the blood, church.
Blood.
He was serious when he went to the cross for you. He looked down on their face of the earth and he said, "Well, there's going to be some folks out there in Laguna Vista. They're going to need some help down the road." You
heard
know?
That song this morning.
Yeah.
Did you?
Word written in red.
Uh-huh. Hallelujah.
That's an old song.
Written in red, huh?
Written in red.
Written in the blood. My goodness. In Vincent's word studies, it says, to the uttermost means all complete, perfectly. Praise you, Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. You see, that's how he can identify with us. He said, yeah, I see how they're struggling down there trying not to get angry and trying not to say this or do that. Or, you know, he knows.
He went through it.
You know? I mean, he was, every friend he had turned their back on him at the cross. He experienced such rejection. He even said to his own father, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He can identify with the struggles you go through, church. Verse 16 says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I'm telling you, church, go boldly to the throne when you have a time of need. He's waiting for you. He's praying that you're going to come. That you're going to come. And he'll be so overjoyed when you do, because he'll say, well, my prayer's been answered. I was praying they'd come. I was praying they'd come get in my presence so I could love on them. Just put my arms around them. Encourage them. Give them the strength to go on. Let them know somebody loves them. You know? Hallelujah. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, God didn't get you started to see you fail. He got you started to see you succeed.
Amen.
Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. It's an inside job, church. He's working on the inside, trying to get you going. In the New King James, that scripture says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Wow. Praise you, Jesus. Paul made this statement when he was writing one of his letters to his son of the faith, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4:7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And I want, church, you got to fight the good fight. You know, it is a battle that we're in. But I read the last chapter, we win.
Yeah.
You know, we win. Hallelujah. We win because Jesus has won. And he makes us a winner because he won. Because we are identified with him. Hallelujah. Yeah. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says this, now to him who is able, that's that word dunamis again, to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power. And where's that power? That works within us, hallelujah, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout the generations forever and ever. Amen. Man. He works in us, church. His power is working in us to accomplish these things, that we might be the people he's called us to be, that we might become the bride of Christ that he's going to come back to get.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That we might be his instruments in the earth to bring about change. That we could be his hands. We could be his feet. We could be his voice in the earth today. Romans 12:1 says this. Paul writes, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You see, Jesus was a once-in-a-lifetime sacrifice for us. But he wants us to be a sacrifice for him. A living sacrifice. Not one that's dead, but one that's alive.
Yeah.
It's alive, that people can see what Christ has done in us. And when we do that, we can be like Paul when he said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Man.
Praise God.
Now remember that first verse I started out on? Revelation 12:11? They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. And that word for testimony, it's the same root word as martyr. Well, you know, I don't think it's likely that any of us are going to have to die serving Jesus. But we can live serving Jesus. We can live serving Jesus, church. Be a living sacrifice. And be encouraged to know that He's praying for you. He's praying for you to make it. He's praying for you to make the right choices. He's praying for you when you're there and you're in the midst of the struggle and you're bouncing, what do I do this or do I do this? And it's an inside job. You got the Holy Spirit in there telling you, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You know? But He's working in us and through us, church, to make the right choices. To make the God choice.
He's a promoter.
Hallelujah. Amen. He's promoting us to the best.
Yes.
The best, Bobby. Not just the good, but the best. The very best. That's what God wants for us. The very best. And He loves you so much. So much. So remember those scriptures. The devil, he became to destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus said it's finished. And He's praying for us to finish our part. Our part. Well, Father, I just ask You to seal this word in our hearts tonight. Lord, we thank You for the power of Your Word. We thank You that it changes us from glory to glory, that we're being made more into the image of Christ day by day, that we will be the glorious church, the radiant bride that You're returning for. And Lord, that we'll let that glory shine on us and through us, Father, that the world might see and know who this Christ is that we proclaim and that we love and that we serve. And Father, I pray for boldness upon us individually, Lord, and as a group, to stand up and proclaim what Christ has done in our lives. Lord, that we would be quick to testify, quick to glorify, quick to magnify our Lord. And Father, I thank You for the harvest that's to come. As they see what You have done in us and through us and among us. Lord, we thank You for the great harvest that's coming. And Lord, we bless You that you count us worthy to be Your servants, to be Your sons and Your daughters. And we love You so much. And we give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to ask if anybody had a testimony you want to share before we start break for the meal and fellowship. Anybody have a testimony you want to share?
I got a lot of stuff out of me the other day.
Hallelujah.
Delivered from alcohol and healed cancer. What else, Judy?
Amen. Awesome.
Amen.
Awesome.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So very faithful.
Okay. Anybody else have a testimony you'd like to share? Yes, Chris.
I just want to thank everybody for their prayers yesterday. And I had a really bad migraine that every time I'd like bend over to get something, it was like one of those that just lock you up and you freeze and your shoulders would shrug and just everything hurt.
Yeah.
And it brought me to tears a couple of times. It happened in the middle of the night about 2:00. I mean, it was just... got up, prayed for about an hour, and went back to sleep. I had trouble sleeping because every time my blood would pulse, my head would throb. All night long, it's driving me crazy. So I didn't get much sleep that night, but I appreciate you guys' prayers. I got a good night's sleep last night.
Amen. Hallelujah.
A lot better today.
Amen.
I think it's very important that you let us know your prayer needs. Mm-hmm. Because I love this computer thing. I mean, all the time. And the fact that I got that from you, then I'm able to pray. So that's good that we're keeping a close network here.
Amen.
Well, it's not exactly a testimony, but I had a dream that will knock your socks off.
Awesome dream. God dream.
Oh, it was just so, I can't get it out of my mind, so
Chris,
I guess I'm supposed to tell
you. How do you get to the lift line?
But
I'll give you the address in a minute.
Okay.
It's still a work in progress.
I dreamed that I was...
Come over here, Anna, so everybody can see you.
Oh, you got to see me.
Yep. Okay. So
I dreamed that I was in this
didn't want to be there, but somebody tricked me into going to this meeting of some kind of player show or something. And so here we were waiting for the thing to start. It was real crowded. And we were just kind of bored waiting. So I saw this, it was a rail, like a, you know, a little bar, a little rail thing.